All right, you are back on Lady Radio on CITR 101.9. That was I'll Be a Ghost for You by Ray Spoon. Today, as some of you may know, is the Trans Day of Remembrance. So if you've been listening to CITR today, a whole bunch of our programmers have made or have been running themed content all day just to raise awareness and show solidarity about a day that is essentially all around representing or recognizing the ongoing systemic and like personal daily violence faced by trans, two-spirit, and non-binary folks every single day of their lives, walking around the streets. So it's a big deal, which we're going to be talking a lot more about the significance of this day and our position in it. But we also just wanted to mention, as we get started, that right now, actually starting at 6, there is the 2015 Vancouver Trans Day of Remembrance rally, march, and vigil. So they will be meeting at the Vancouver Art Gallery, leaving at around 6:15. If anyone out there listening wants to attend, we really recommend it. They'll be marching east down Robson to Seymour and then heading north to 515 West Hastings. So if you can catch them anywhere along that route, that would be great. They're doing a march and rally. And then where they're meeting is at the SFU Harbor Center. They are having a vigil there, which will start at around 7. So make sure to go check that out. We just want to call out our support for the organizers and participants of that since we can't be there today. Yeah. So, Trans Day of Remembrance. I'm here in the studio. Sorry, I'm Elizabeth Holliday, by the way. I'm joined here in the studio. My pronouns are she, her, and hers. And over here.
My name is Jules. I also use female pronouns.
I'm Callie. I prefer female pronouns.
And I'm Katie, and I also prefer female pronouns.
There we go. Awesome. So we've been talking a bit, getting ready for the show today, about why it is important that we say what our pronouns are. We also wanted to foreground this. We've been talking quite a bit about the difficulty and discomfort that we feel programming around trans issues when we are all cis-identified women. And
cis-identified white women?
Cis-identified white women, specifically.
This is a super not diverse circle.
Yeah. And we are approaching this day from a position of solidarity and allyship, and by no means from firsthand experience. But yeah, Jules went to an event earlier today, specifically about allyship, that I think she wants to tell us a little bit about.
Well, I won't go into the full... Do you want me to go into the sort of like full rundown of the event right now, or should I just sort of... What I'm just going to do to start off is just generally present a very basic 101 on gender identity. Sort of like very, very basic introduction. So basically, first thing to understand is the essential difference between sex and gender. So sex is a purely physiological thing. This is the sort of type that your body was born at. This is generally a label that has been assigned to you as an infant at birth by a doctor. This is a label that falls in our Western medical tradition. This is a label that falls into two distinct categories, male and female. And this is acknowledged by sort of intellectuals in the trans community as being a binary that does not necessarily apply to anything. In fact, if we look further into the medical sphere of things, there's a whole discussion about intersex individuals, which I won't talk about because I don't know enough about. Yes, so that's sex. So that's all. So as we said, that is something assigned. That is something you receive as an infant, and as opposed to just dictating sort of your conception of your physical self, socially speaking, it also, well, in the society that we live in, it determines. It is constructed as also determining your gender. And now your gender is an internal point of self-identification. And this too, in overwhelmingly in our society, is basically we live in a culture that emphasizes the gender binary, which is to say that there is male, there is female. There is male and there is female. Yeah, whoa. You know, that's about it's the two options you got, and if you don't fit, fuck you. Oh, we should have run a content warning.
We'll do it later.
Whatever.
No problem, let it out.
Yeah. Yeah, and so that has absolutely no bearing on people who maybe do not feel that sort of what they feel inside sort of ascribes to all the characteristics applied to both of these genders. So yeah, so that's gender, so that's sex. So I am now going to turn to this super handy-dandy infographic that a transgender friend of mine from back home sent to me. They are a transgender advocate who has actually been very active in Montreal. Montreal is very proud of them. Actually, the CEGEP that we came from recently installed gender-neutral bathrooms, largely due to their efforts. And we can maybe talk about that a bit later in terms of safe spaces, and the importance of having sort of safe spaces like these. Anyways, I'm gonna just to avoid rambling on, I'm gonna sort of take these terms from an infographic that they sent me. So. Gender binary is the categorization of gender into two distinct opposite sexes. I've discussed that. Trans and transgender is an umbrella term applied to those whose gender identity is not the same as the sex they were assigned at birth. And notably, very, very notably here is that, like, just being trans is that you can. I believe there's some. I'm not going to talk about that. I don't know enough about it. I'm just going to stick to the list. So transgender, an umbrella term applied to those whose gender identity is not the same as the sex. I just read that. Cisgender is someone who identifies exclusively as their sex assigned at birth. That means that not only do they identify physically with the female gender, as some people do not, and they also identify in terms of that same gender, which is, you know, lucky them, lucky us, lucky everyone in this room who doesn't have to sort of... Anyways, genderqueer. So in this infographic, genderqueer is a term applied to individuals who do not identify within the gender binary. We discussed this term in the allyship meeting. This is a bit of a contested term. This is a term that is a bit antiquated at this point. The thing about all this terminology is that it really is something that is constantly in flux as sort of new generations appropriate different terminology and reject others, and it is really a matter of, it's a grab bag of mix and match. There are so many ways to identify that just like slapping a name that may work for someone else who is vaguely similar to you just might not work for you, and it's really like terminology is very important, as we will see. And so the current term that is slightly more accepted nowadays is gender non-conforming. So I mean, queer sort of is a word with connotations that, if you haven't, it's not really a word that you can apply to anyone else. It's a word that you can definitely appropriate. It's a word that you can identify as. It's a word that you can take for yourself, but it's not ever a word that should be applied to someone else just because of the connotations of sort of like weird or bizarre or anything like that. Just try to keep off slapping it onto other people. Gender nonconforming would be the term that is applied to people who don't necessarily, whose identity does not necessarily conform with their presentation of gender or with their gender assigned at birth. And finally, transition on this infographic is the process of changing one's gender expression to match their gender identity. This could be a matter of like physical presentation. This could be a matter of, on an extreme end, physical surgery. This could be just a matter of sort of like expressing to other people, like, this could just be a matter of, like, altering the pronouns that you use. Yeah, do you have anything you want to say before I talk my face off?
No, I don't think so. I think the moment of transition, something for folks who aren't necessarily very well-versed in, like, the trans advocacy, like, groups or anything, like, any cis folks out there who maybe don't talk about trans issues very much. Something that's really interesting about the idea of transition is that, like, people do need to know that there is no way to transition. Like, there's no one way, and a transition as such isn't necessary to make someone trans. Like, it's not a process that every trans
there
person goes
no
through.
There is no one-size-fits-all process.
There is no one-size-fits-all
process.
There
is no one-size-fits-all gender.
Exactly.
There is no two-size-fits-all gender.
There's no gender. Gender is a construction. But actually, because that's what we're talking about.
Let's stay serious.
But it's true. But yeah, just that idea is that if... I think there's a lot of the fetishization of transition processes, and you definitely see that in terms of, like, mm-hmm. representations of trans folks in the media, mm-hmm. in movies.
Yeah, in movies. I was thinking that movie Trans America.
Oh, yeah. I actually haven't seen that. It was Felicity Huffman, though, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Is that the, which one's that?
Felicity Huffman transitions from male to female.
Mm-hmm. Is it the one where it's sort of a mother transitioning? And
yes.
It's this whole, she's mm-hmm. with her son, and there's a lot of...
Yeah.
Okay. There's a road trip.
A road trip.
A classic metaphor for a journey.
Oh, man. That's mm-hmm. great. I haven't seen that, actually. I will watch that.
Yeah.
I actually did, I did a paper for a course in the summer about trans representations in media and the kind of tropes that are always reinvoked with that. And I think, like, one of the big things in researching for today's show, we've been looking at a lot of, like, mm-hmm. Laverne Cox videos and, like, a lot of this shift in media towards...
Do we want to briefly introduce Laverne Cox as a...
Oh, yeah. Laverne Cox. Background on Laverne Cox?
Bit of background on Laverne Cox? Just to say that...
She's in Orange and the New Black, yeah. right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is not a show that I like, but
oh,
I don't
okay.
enjoy that show.
That's all right.
I watched it when I was, like, really sick. I, like, binged the whole episode and I was really sick, so I have really bad associations.
Oh, yeah, that's not a fair way to enter.
She's grueling. But anyways, Laverne Cox,
great
as
character
well
on
as
the show,
being
sure.
a, like, having a bunch of dope scenes. Yeah.
She rocks.
In
she
that
does.
Show is also a trans activist. I don't know, man. She has this great talks with Bell Hooks online mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. sort of just the black female body and sort of its policing. That's the talk where Bell Hooks sort of famously calls Beyonce a terrorist. That's a great talk.
We started watching that in one of my classes. But getting onto the subject of Laverne Cox, one thing that a lot of she and Janet Mock do a lot of videos together, and I was watching one in her class recently as well.
Janet Mock, another that's yeah. JANETMOCK, another trans activist.
Yeah, trans activist, trans woman of color activist specifically. And that's something that I think we're talking about is really important to bring up is the recognition that not only do folks who fall in the LGBTQIA plus spectrum have to deal with violence in myriad forms on a daily basis, but transphobic violence disproportionately affects trans women of color. So... I mean, again, we're going in this infographic way, but it's something that is talked about a lot and that is really important to know is that trans women have a 1 in 12 chance of being murdered, like of that being the cause of their death, which goes up to 1 in 8 for trans women of color. They live in an extremely intersectionally marginalized position. And, I mean, there's a lot to be said about it's an intersection of racism and sexism and I guess you could say... Well, gender phobia, that is something that is still not talked about enough. And that is, mm-hmm. I mean, the murder that actually started the Trans Day of Remembrance, it was a murder of a black trans woman and 16 years ago. And that's...
Just today, so today marks the 16th sort of... This is the 16th Trans Day of Remembrance.
16th, yeah.
Okay.
Which it's kind of...
Which is, you know, a pathetically short amount of time, frankly.
Yeah, yeah, it is. What's interesting, I mean, what's so frustrating for me, again, mm-hmm. not that this is, you know, as a cis woman, what is interesting about the mm-hmm. Trans Day of Remembrance is that, like, it's, you know, it's not like Trans Pride Day. It's like, oh, the day that we are having talk about trans people is like, oh, disproportionately more of you have been murdered.
There are other, there's Trans Day of Visibility. There's
yeah.
Trans Day of, I know there's a, there are several commemorative days, and this is in particular a day to sort of approach this with a very serious cast of mind.
Yeah.
And keep in mind sort of the numbers. I have a fun little infographic here too on queer youth of color. Mm. Pretty much just. I mean, this is already a demographic that experiences higher than normal sort of rates of mental illness, abuse, outwardly inflicted and from others, discrimination, etc. And sort of when you tack. Being a racial or ethnic minority onto that, it gets far worse. So just to about half of LGBTQ students of color experience sort of verbal harassment, especially in sort of zones of education where they're sort of where they come into contact with people who are not sort of sensitive to diversity and little kids are assholes.
But I mean, like, looking last week, we got to feature that interview with Brandon Yan from Out in Schools. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say, like, and so the problem's fixed. But, I mean, that's one of the many ways in which, or one of the ways that I appreciate that on a local level, at least, we're seeing people recognizing that as a problem. Mm-hmm. And being like, hey, people need to, like, be educating children that different gender identities exist and, like, they're okay for you to have, and mm-hmm. that you need to understand that this is, like, something that is real and mm-hmm. can't, like, because bullying is out of control, which is a very blankety statement.
Blankety blanket.
Blankety blank blank.
Blanket statements are occasionally true.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Blanket gender, on the other hand. There's some trouble there.
Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to play a little Anthony and the Johnstons. Which I think Katie recommended. Katie, can you tell us a little about Anthony and the Johnstons?
Yeah, Anthony, who prefers female pronouns, is a trans musician and visual artist from all over the place, kind of hard to pinpoint. I think based out of New York now, but from, like, originally from the UK, and I'm not sure.
Very cool.
All over the place, so.
Okay, well, this is going to be Hope There's Someone by Anthony and the Johnson. After we come back, we'll have a little bit of chat about things that we can do for active solidarity and allyship.
Hope there's someone who'll take care of me when I die. Will I go? Hope there's someone who'll set my heart free, nice to hold when I'm tired. There's a ghost on the horizon. Sleep at night, I will not raise my head. Oh, I'm scared of the middle place between life and nowhere. I don't want to be the one left in there. Left in there. There's a man on the horizon. He should go to bed. If I fall to his feet tonight, will he love rest my head? So he's hoping I will not drown or paralyze in life. And God said I don't want to go to the seas, watershed. Hope this soul will take care of me when I die. Will I go? Oh, let someone save my heart free. Nothing's too hold when I'm tired.
often referenced as a society where women feel markedly unsafe, then Western civilization as we know it is doomed to fall. Dystopia Dreaming, a one-night experimental cyberfeminist project. Featuring performance artworks by Lindsay Starbird, Natalia Wilhelm, and Miki Aurora. Electronic music featuring DJs Miss Cosmic, Brontron, Ragnath K, and Little Fire One. Bringing you D&B, Lush Texture Electronic, bass, and more. Lastly, a cyberfeminist ritual. This rite, which will be one part Fluxus-inspired happening, one part cyber shamanism, will be designed to facilitate a collective catharsis for our cultural wound of widespread misogyny. The ritual will be available to those who reserve a place in advance to dystopiadreaming@gmail.com and will begin at 9 p.m. At 10 p.m., doors will be opened to the general public and the DJ sets will begin. Find us on Facebook by searching up Dystopia Dreaming. Or lock in your advance tickets at dystopiadreaming.eventbrite.com. The dress code is post-apocalyptic. Within the desecrated ruins of antiquated, hegemonic systems of thought, the seeds for a future free of subjugation begin to take root.
Second Wednesday of the month from 6 to 9 is Women in Queer Night at the Bike Kitchen. Bring your bike and give it some love in this safe and positive space for anyone who identifies as female or queer. Come learn how to fix your own bike with the help of a female or queer identified mechanic and volunteers. Plus, there's free pizza. Visit bikecoop.ca for more information.
All right, and you're back on Lady Radio. That was Anthony and the Johnsons with Hope There's Someone. That was a good, deep, sad one. I liked it a lot. Yeah, it just those are the feelings of the day. So we did start off with a Ray Spoon song, and Callie has a little bit to tell us about Ray Spoon.
Yeah. So, Ray Spoon is a Canadian musician and writer from Calgary and lives in Montreal. They self-identify as a trans man and started as a country singer, has written books and performed shows. A really interesting one called Gender Failure was turned into a book and published by Arsenal Pulp Press, which is from Vancouver. And music-wise, I looked at a sort of more synthy kind of bouncy song called Ocean Blue. If that's your jam, then check that out. And then I also looked at the very melodic and sort of crooning song that you guys heard earlier in the beginning of the show that I really loved called I'll Be a Ghost for You. I really felt like it was just very vulnerable and tender, something that you would listen to in sort of a contemplative mood. It has sort of like a Alberta desert lands feel to it. like sort of like standing in the wind by yourself somewhere outside with the jacket. Anyways, that's my synesthesia verbal or visual representation of the musical.
Standing in the desert of Alberta, yeah. Specifically. Yeah. In a jacket.
In a jacket with the wind just, I don't
Which
know.
Which direction is the wind coming from?
It's blowing your hair back in like a music video kind of way.
Oh, yeah, I see that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, good stuff. I really wanted to read Gender Failure, but I wasn't able to open it online, and it was on loan. UBC, what are we doing?
Someone wants to read it also.
We should get more.
Cool. Thanks, Callie.
Yeah, and if I could read a blurb that was the description for the book. Please. It says that they expose their failed attempts to fit into the gender binary and how ultimately our expectations and assumptions around traditional gender roles fails us all. And I really like that because it's talking about sort of how trans issues can shed light on the failure of gender roles and like how it's failing us as people and as a nation or any nation. Yeah.
Cool.
That's great.
That's some intense stuff. So on that note, aware as we are of how gender is failing us as a nation and as humans and as, you know, any of these things, Jules is going to give us some fast facts. Not that this is a fast thing or an easy thing, but about solidarity and about how women who identify as we do, both racially and in terms of the gender spectrum, the ways that we can actively and appropriately be allies so that we're not speaking for folks who don't have the privilege that we experience.
Yeah, well, that's an important thing. That's the word, appropriately and not appropriation. Ooh. Appropriation is a bad word when we do it because, okay, so being an ally, ultimately, what it boils, just like being an ally to anyone, being a friend to anyone, being there to support anyone is ultimately just about being very sensitive to what they're experiencing. And in many cases, this does require just like a word that was thrown a lot around, a phrase that was thrown a lot around in the meeting was a check-in. Just check in with people to see how they're feeling. Just check in with people to find out what their pronouns are. Check in with people to find out if the space that you're in, if it's a class, if it's a public area, if that's a space where they feel comfortable with their identity as a trans person being out. Check in with them to, you know, like, this applies to everyone, not just transgender people. Don't treat transgender people like they're made out of pillows just because they're transgender. You should always be sensitive to everyone around you. Okay, I'm going to start off at the risk of sort of digressing forever once again. I'm going to start off with the discussion about pronouns. So pronouns are very important. Pronoun. Okay, so everyone in this room currently uses female pronouns. Once again, as we discussed before, this is due to our gender assignment at birth that we just happen to sort of accord with in our day-to-day lives, that we are comfortable accepting that we can all say, like, yes, there's these aspects of being female that we agree with, that we feel like, that's cool with us. But many people obviously don't. So basically, first step to sort of helping any space you're in be a positive space is by just sort of establishing a precedent for, like, the exchange of pronouns by not assuming that perhaps because someone appears to be female or appears to be male, that is necessarily how they identify. By definitely not assuming that because someone appears to be a female but with short hair, what are they actually? If you're asking yourself, what are they actually? Just stop asking that question, because it's not a question that has an answer. It's just not a question that needs to be answered. It's a matter of also just recognize where your curiosity just, like, doesn't even merit being indulged. Like, sometimes there are things that you're curious about, and you know what? You can just let that rest. So a good way to start with pronouns is just by sort of... This was interesting, because we were actually sort of speaking about sort of trying to normalize the process of pronoun exchange in regular conversation, even when you don't necessarily think or assume, and once again we're playing with that word assume, which is a dangerous word, that you are speaking with someone with a trans identity. It's good to just sort of, like, normalize the process. So when you introduce yourself, hi, my name is Jules, I use female pronouns, or hi, my name is Jules, I use she, her. Often also because if you're moving in trans spaces, there are a lot of pronouns that people do not necessarily come into contact with very often. So for example, the person leading the ally discussion were, zeer pronouns were, No, sorry, here pronouns. Here pronouns. It was Z, here, and here's. Mm-hmm. And it can be hard. So like, as you can see, like, it can be hard to sort of, like, immediately from the outset sort of, like, wrap your mind around that. Because it's not something you hear every day. And a big way to for helping people who use pronouns like this to feel more accepted is to sort of, like, just allow these pronouns to flow more in regular speech, actually. Here gave us a website. I noted it down somewhere. I think it was called Pronoun Practice, actually. So it was this website where you can sort of, you Google pronoun practice, and it actually lets you input the pronouns that you are trying to get used to, that are trying to practice, and it'll take sort of, like, text taken from, like, pop culture or, like, plays or book passages, and it'll actually replace all the pronouns in that passage with the pronouns you're trying to, and, like, there are audio files of that as well, and it's just a really cool way to sort of get more used to, just get more used to sort of hearing it, get more used to using it, so you don't sort of, like, ultimately, if you're afraid of sort of, like, tripping up because you're using it, that is a legitimate fear, because sort of tripping up can be hurtful to the person you're addressing. Occasionally, misgendering can be a very hurtful thing. Misgendering is when you use the pronouns that the person does not feel when you just use the improper pronouns for a person. But ultimately, it's more important to use them regularly and to risk a slip up than to avoid using them and just have it be this sort of, like, gray zone of, oh, I don't want to go there in case I make a mistake, because that just contributes. Yeah.
Oh, I just wanted I didn't want to interrupt you, but I just wanted to say that, for example, in the use of pronouns, I, when introducing Anthony and the Johnsons, said that Anthony prefers female pronouns, and Jules pointed out that it's not necessarily a preference, or not even necessarily, it's just not a preference. So she educated me that it's uses. So Anthony, for instance, uses female pronouns. Mm-hmm. So that's just an example of, you know, you don't know always how to use them, right? So... Mm-hmm.
It was also pointed out to me by the Pride coordinator that at one point you would ask someone sort of, what are your preferred pronouns, or what pronouns do you prefer? And at this point it is, what are your pronouns? Because it's not a matter of preference, it's a matter of fact, it's a matter of identity. It's a matter of identification. So ultimately what's most important here is that sort of, like, the fact that pronouns are malleable, and the fact that pronouns change from person to person, the fact that this be normalized. So on it, you know what would be healthy? If everyone just introduced themselves with their preferred pronouns to everyone they introduce themselves, and if people think you're weird for doing that, be like, no, it's not weird.
It's necessary. Yeah,
just,
absolutely.
Yeah, so I am going to try to, integrate that into my day-to-day practice. I say try. I'm definitely going to slip up at some point or just not think of it. But it's just a matter of working towards building awareness, working towards building visibility, working towards building sensibility, ultimately. And in terms of other things to do, in terms of solidarity, is just, okay, so we're a bunch of cis white women. Awesome. We are so lucky, because I'm willing to bet that I am gonna go, like, knock on wood, like, sort of never be picked on for my gender identity or never be harassed for that reason.
I know what you mean. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. I'm just saying it badly.
But, misgendering is not something. Misgendering or being the target of abuse for a chosen identity is not something, or for making that choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Basically, what I was just saying is that we come from, in Western society, we are coming from a place of immense privilege.
Absolutely.
We have the capacity, what the Pride coordinator was telling us is that we do have the capacity to start conversations. I know I personally am from an upper middle class background as well. That gives me a lot of sort of like social mobility as well that will eventually sort of like facilitate my circling and, you know, just like any kind of social mobility is helpful in any way. If you can use that to the effect of opening up discussions that will benefit people who perhaps cannot open them up to themselves. But ultimately, what is most important is not using that, is not opening up the discussion and then being like, okay, I've opened up the discussion, now I'm going to talk about it because yeah. I opened it up. It's opening up the discussion and then, once again, checking in with those that you are attempting to benefit.
And then stepping back. Yeah.
Another point was just sort of like privilege. Often, like I'm sure we've all heard the term white guilt. Guilt is not a constructive emotion. Guilt is, if anything, sort of just the squandering of privilege because guilt is not productive. Guilt is, it's you know, everyone is born from a standpoint, and you can choose to, you know, mope around and feel guilty about that standpoint, or you can choose to be proactive and use that standpoint to try to benefit others and seed place for them to speak for themselves, or if they feel uncomfortable with that, just do everything that you can to promote visibility for others in a positive way and promote them, just give them, I don't want to say give them, that sounds so patronizing, just everyone has agency. Privileged people come from a position of privilege in terms of how much agency they have. We are in a position to open up conversations so that people can take control of their own representation, of their own agency. That's ultimately the most important. Just in any way that you can, if you are in a position to, help people access their right to self-determination and to self-representation. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm saying this in an okay way.
You're good.
I hope. If I'm not, call me out and tell me what I'm saying wrong, please.
If that's what the process is all about. Mm-hmm. You got this. That's great. Thank you, Jules. Yeah. Jules attended, actually, it was an allyship workshop through the SASC and Pride UBC.
Through Pride UBC, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pride UBC, absolutely amazing. They've been organizing events all week long. They had a vigil and memorial today that I got to attend, which was lovely, in the Hatch Gallery here at the AMS Nest, which is where we are.
AMS Nest, it's shiny, it's clean.
It's silver and strange.
Smells like noodles.
It's very, very sterile. So,
also notable, the Pride UBC offices are a safe space.
Thank you.
They are a safe space. At any point, anyone is welcome to, you know, they have hang out there. They have sort of like crafts. They have sort of activities you can do if you're experiencing feelings of agitation. They have resources. They have resources for education if you're just wandering by and want to know more about things. There are coordinators all over the place who are always happy to educate people about anything they can. Another great important thing you can do as an ally is to just gather as much information as you can so that you're not just talking out of your ass about various things. If there's nothing worse than taking the stage for someone else and then saying a bunch of shit you
that's wrong.
Don't know anything about, and God help me if that's what I'm doing right now.
We're going to provide a lot of links on our episode page afterwards that can be really informative, and check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think with that, we're going to move to a little bit more music. We got Inka Gunter, who could not be here with us today, but she created or did a little write-up about Uncle Meg, who is an interesting genderqueer rapper. And I think Katie's going to tell us a little more about. She's going to read that on behalf of Inka.
Sure am. Just one second.
Home, get that going.
So Uncle Meg is Meg Scaff, who goes by the name Uncle Meg, is a genderqueer artist who's best known for her videos and lyrics in the Handjob Academy, a group of three badass quirky girls who rap about everything from menstruation to Lena Dunham. Clara Business, Ash Wednesday, and Uncle Meg refer to themselves as Blonde, Gay, and Janet, began to be acknowledged by mainstream media such as Good Morning America, New York Magazine, LA Weekly, and many more ever since they met in Brooklyn in 2012 and started to produce music together. Even Taylor Swift Instagrammed a video of Lena Dunham dancing to their very own tune, Lena Dunham.
I saw that.
That's cute.
I didn't want to see it.
It's pretty great.
This summer, Uncle Meg released her first independent song, Uncle Freestyle, followed by her debut solo EP, Dangerfield. However, not only is Meg killing it on the music front, she also directs, edits, and sometimes even shoots and produces many of the music videos of the Handjob Academy songs, as well as her own. More recently, she has begun working to pursue a career as a freelance filmmaker through a company her and her business partner, April Maxey, are currently working to create. Although Uncle Meg is labeled as a genderqueer artist, she has talked about how she's not picky about pronouns. I do like being labeled as a genderqueer artist. There are both very feminine and masculine sides of me, and I embrace and love both of them. But I'm not picky at all about my pronouns or how people label me overall, she said in a Nylon magazine interview. Meg knew she was gay before she even started kindergarten, and by the time she came out to her parents at the age of 17, she was already dating her second girlfriend. I remember growing up down south in a small town as a kid, and I never even heard of these terms to describe people before. I remember thinking that I felt different as a kid, like I didn't fit. I knew I was a girl, but I wanted to be a boy because I thought you only had two options to choose from. Being a member of the LGBTQ and genderqueer community, as well as being a rapper with growing influence, she wants to send a message to her listeners. Basically, I just want people to listen to my music and relate to it. I want other LGBT people, especially teenagers that feel scared, to see me and be inspired. That's kind of all I want.
All right. Thank you, Katie, and thank you, Inca. Without any further ado, we're going to play some Uncle Meg. This is Uncle Freestyle, so that single that was mentioned. Yeah, enjoy. It's quite a boppy tune with a super fun music video. If any of you out there want to check it out, it's really great. So yeah, here's Uncle Meg on CITR 101.9.
Uncle, let me niece and nephew your children. Just believe in me, I know you want to. Just believe in me, I know you want to.
Every single damn day, like every single damn day. Every single damn day, like every single damn day.
Okay, girl.
Uncle, can you pick me up? Like, no, baby girl, you didn't make the cut. Every single damn day, like every single damn day, every single damn day, like every single damn day.
Okay, girl.
Do what I wanna do, regardless. pick me up?
Give me a
uncle, 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 can you pick me up? M-E-B-L-M-E-M-E-B-L-M-E. Like, dear uncle, uncle, can you pick me up? Dear uncle, uncle, can you pick me up?
My name is David Scott. I play wide receiver for the University of British Columbia football team, and I'm here to discuss the Be More Than a Bystander program. Myself and a few other players were lucky enough to work alongside the BC Lions and EVA, the Ending Violence Association, to support this cause. The main goal of the Be More Than a Bystander initiative is to increase awareness of domestic violence against women. For more information on the cause, please visit endingviolence.org.
Rock trio LA Witch returns to Vancouver to play Thursday, December 10th at the Cobalt with special guests Feels and Eric Campbell in the Dirt. Doors open at 8, the show starts at 9:30, and the show is 19+. Find your information and tickets on sale now at timberconcerts.com or in real life at Red Cat and Zulu Records.
All right, so that was Uncle Meg with Uncle Freestyle. Hope you guys enjoyed that as much as we did. Just bopping along to that one. So I think that about wraps it up for our TDOR broadcast. Just to remind you, there is the official TDOR memorial happening downtown at the SFU building in about 10 minutes' time. I know they'll be starting. So if you're out there and want to check that out, that would be great. We'll also be posting a whole bunch of the stuff that we talked about today, the infographics, a couple different videos probably. And we were talking about a lot of different great videos we've been checking out in relation to this.
Yeah, I've also I've asked the one of the Pride coordinators to just barrage me with sort of info and resources so that I can learn. It's probably going to be like a bunch of hefty like bookmarks and files, and if we can post all of that, then we'll post all of that, because information is power, ignorance is destructive. It's not a happy thing. It's not destructive, it's just like the absence, it's just the absence of knowledge, and knowledge is a great thing, especially as regards sort of fostering understanding and acceptance and inclusivity. And so we will try to get as much information to you as possible.
Absolutely.
And as much of this sick, bouncy... that was a sick song. That was such a great song.
Another thing we had planned, we actually ended up running out of time because we were talking
Everyone
about other great
Mickey
things. We had planned to play a Q&A that we had recorded last week. The Sask did a film screening and Q&A with Gwen Hayworth, who has a documentary called She's a Boy I Knew, about her transition process. It's about a lot more than her transition process, but really beautiful film. We had a chance to get the Q&A recorded, and so we have that whole file. It's about half an hour long. I'm going to also get that up on our page within the next little while, so make sure to send that out there, because she talks about a lot of really interesting stuff, like even just her experience in filmmaking. She actually started and completed the film at UBC in her master's of film, so there's a lot of really interesting stuff there, a lot of good talk about gender identity and her personal experience of that and her family and all of these things. So really cool one. We'll have that up there soon as well.
And just as in all things, if ever you're curious about trans issues, people want to know more about people. So just don't feel shy about asking. Don't feel shy about demonstrating your ignorance in order to gain knowledge.
Absolutely.
Pretty much. And just come at it from a position of compassion, come at it from a position of wanting to understand. Like, try not to be I was definitely shy about how little I knew, but I mean, you start from a little and then you build up gradually. And if just just learn as much as you can, pretty much. Ask trans coordinators, dig out resources. This is so important.
Don't
be
afraid to be vulnerable, everyone.
That's so good. Yeah, so next week, this same place, same time, we are going to be having a show entirely featured around sexual assault, particularly on-campus sexual assault. So it's going to be heavy, but it's also going to be awesome. We'll be having a former WAVA volunteer in, Marina Klassen, who's also a UBC student. We're going to be talking with her about WAVA and what they do. We're going to be talking about The Hunting Ground, which is the documentary that is also screening next week on the 26th. The SASC is presenting that. You should definitely come see it. Some of us will be going to see it. And we'll just be having a conversation about on-campus sexual assault. And it's UBC. There's a lot to talk about. So we'll see you then. We're going to leave you off with a little bouncier of a song. This is from Katie Redd, who is a bounce musician, which is a genre of music I knew nothing about until very recently. Trans woman of color from New Orleans. And this is Punk Under Pressure.
Oh, man.
Here we go.
Oh, man.
Thank you, and good night.
You can jump if you want, Katie Redd, cause she's slipping and she down, yeah. You can jump if you want, Katie Redd, cause she's slipping and she down, yeah.
Let me finish up my money on the dresser.